Life Architects. Welcome back to another episode of the Build a Bigger Life podcast. It is I, the chief architect of my own life, Adam Carroll. What's up? It is episode 151. And what that means is if you have been with me from the beginning, you have had me in your ears for 70 plus hours. Danke, as my son, who is learning German, would say. Danke for having me in your ears for 70 plus hours. Episode 151 is an interesting milestone. We've crossed the 150 mark. I'm now on my way to 300. Hopefully I can get there before the end of 2021. I'm sure we'll have lots of amazing content in the next year, as there is so much to unpack with all the garbage that's happened. And I just wanted to let you know, we're going to be a little bit more intentional about the show in terms of ads and guests and solo casts. I've had a lot of people reach out and say, hey, we want to hear more of you. And I'm listening. I hear you. So you're going to hear more of me and some of my ideas that I want to put forth into how to make the next year an amazing year. No matter what is going on in your life, we can always architect what we want. We just have to be very intentional about it. So I've always been interested in psychology. I just knew that from the time I was in college, I could not put the time in the chair, as they say in air quotes, in the chair. Well, today's guest, she pursued it. She pursued the education necessary. She has put the time in the chair in, and she listens to somewhere between 40 and 45 clients a week in the chair, now via Zoom, if you can imagine that. This is her second or maybe third career. But here's what I'm going to tell you. She's pure awesome. Her name is Ramona Wink. She is a budding and very capable speaker who went through my speaker launch pad. But more important than that, she is an insanely good human who has the ability to listen and understand and show up with empathy. You're going to love her story. She went through some bumps along the way to get to where she is today. But as I've said two times now, she's awesome. All right. So to connect with other awesome people, you should definitely be on the Build a Bigger Life retreat notification list. What? Retreats? Does your ears perk up just like a puppy when they hear their name? The retreats we put on hold, on hiatus over the course of 2020, but we're bringing it back, baby. When we're past all this craziness and people want to connect and align to their goals in a big way, we'll be back in action with the Build a Bigger Life retreat. Bigger, better than ever, in cool places with cool people. Go to buildabiggerlife.com/retreat for more information and to get on that notification list so you get your seat secured before we ramp that thing back up again in the spring. If you can't wait that long, grab a copy of the Build a Bigger Life Manifesto. It's now available on Amazon. It is a quick read, but the feedback I'm getting from it is very, very positive. People are saying they're going through the exercises, they're changing their lives. So grab a copy before they're all gone, because they might be gone someday. Not any day soon, mind you. I have thousands of copies in my basement. It's just a scarcity tease, but you know, they'll print more, no worries. But go buy a copy. The Build a Bigger Life Manifesto. It's awesome. The show is sponsored by theshredmethod.com. If you're looking for a way to blast away debt, create mass amounts of freedom and flexibility, and ultimately own more of your income, I mean, let's be honest, who wouldn't want to do that? Visit theshredmethod.com and watch the Kickstarter training that's available there right this very minute. You get started on this today. Utilizing the Shred Method is how I paid off my mortgage. I have now been 1 year and 1 month mortgage free. Woohoo! It feels real good, I'm telling you. And this is how I can have total control of all of my income. Of course, I got to pay taxes and stuff, but no debt. And it's a good place to be. You should be in this club too. It's a fun club. The dues are super cheap. All right, on to the main event. Here is my psychologist and counselor friend, Ramona Wink. She's amazing. Ramona Wink, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Adam, for having me today. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to be talking to you via Zoom. And I'm super excited to have you on because, candidly, I consider myself a bit of a dime store psychologist.
You would make a darn good psychologist.
Well, thank you. But I'm interested in talking to the real deal today. You are part of the Freedom Series, and this is a series of interviews that I'm having with people to chat a little bit more about freedom, the perception of the loss thereof in the midst of COVID and quarantine, all of that. But as with any interview that I have on this show, you know how it begins. What do you love about your life right now?
That's a really thought-provoking question, Adam, and thank you for asking your guests. What I love about my life right now is that I have the opportunity, which I take very personally and very seriously, to help make positive change in people's lives. As a mental health counselor with 515 Therapy and Consulting in West Des Moines, I have the unique privilege of sitting with clients in their best times and in their hardest times. And during COVID, it's been hard times. People are struggling. My caseload has exploded because people want mental health counseling. So I love the fact that every day I get to use my God-given gifts and talents to bring hope and to bring a message of healing and to normalize what people are going through, because I think we all have so many commonalities of the struggles that we're facing due to the challenges that COVID-19 have put upon us.
Yeah. So it sounds like to me, you are feeling well-placed in this, that you're using your God-given gifts here and helping people.
I am well-placed in this, Adam, and you know I'm 56 years old, and I tell myself often that I wish I had many more years that I could do this. This is about my third career in my lifetime, but even though I may be a late bloomer, I really do feel very called for such a time as this, and so I'm thankful that I get to use my life experiences, and I think that makes me real and authentic, because my journey has not been easy either. And so I just really am very, very thankful that God put me in this position now. And there's such a need. We need more mental health professionals in Iowa. Iowa is a great place to live. I'm a hometown Iowa girl, have lived here my whole life. But we need more mental health providers in our state. Mental health is a need. We have great providers. We just need more. So I am just very thankful to be a part of that larger community.
So very cool. It's a good segue to a little bit of your history. And you alluded to it, third career. Now, a friend of mine says that just means you can recreate yourself many times over, which is awesome. But I also think that some people believe that success is a straight line, A to B. And you and I both know that's not true. It's a very much jagged, windy, curvy line, sometimes backtracks on itself before you get to that future point. What were the first two careers, if you want to take us back and tell us how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, my first career was in banking and marketing. I was an assistant vice president for a small rural bank in Southeast Iowa, where I was from, and really enjoyed that job. Worked with a lot of farmers, worked with a lot of people that I knew on a daily basis, and doing not only their personal banking, but I had the fun job of doing all the marketing for the banking. And so I started back then, this is really going to date me, but bank travel clubs were big back then. And so I started a bank travel club and kind of got to be that travel agent and took people from our bank, not only around the state of Iowa, Adam, but really around the country and around the world. We took trips to Greece and Turkey and the Bahamas and Switzerland. And so that was a really, really, really great job. And I felt very fortunate to do that. After that, God tapped me on the shoulder and took me into ministry. And that was a beautiful part of my life. And for that, I am very, very thankful. Served two small churches as their pastor and really, really enjoyed that time. Preaching really filled my cup. And so that was where I felt the most used in a good way, serving the congregations that God had called me to serve. But then in that time, Adam, I really felt nudged by God to leave the church. And as I reflected on my life, and I challenge my clients to do this on a regular basis, is to really reflect on your life. I could remember many people in high school told me, Ramona, you should go into counseling because you're so easy to talk to. I feel so safe with you. You're so welcoming of whatever problem I have. And so when God tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, now I'm going to call you out of the church because I really need your gifts and talents in counseling, it really made sense to me. My dad struggled with major depression when I was growing up, and so that piece was a part of our family's life. We were farmers, and my dad and mom went through the farm crisis of the 1980s. My dad suffered from major depression, like I said, almost took his life because things were so bad. Thankfully, he didn't, but I'm very, very thankful that my parents shared that journey with me, and I knew that mental health was a concern. So when God tapped me on the shoulder and took me out of the church, it was like, Adam, all the pieces came together. And so another piece of my story that I think is relevant is when my maternal grandmother was on her dying days, I went to visit her in the nursing home, and I was 40 some years old, and I acted like I was that little girl, and I crawled up in her lap, and she was sitting in the chair and was on oxygen, and I said, Grandma, what are we going to do? And she took one last breath, Adam, and said two words to me. She said, keep talking. And those are words that I've carried with me since that time, is that I believe we all need to keep talking. I believe the world needs to be a place where we can talk with one another, not shout at one another. There's a big difference there. So again, I feel like all the pieces of my life, the pretty pieces and the broken pieces have come together. And now I feel like I'm at really where I belong. And I look forward to, hopefully, I tell my clients, hopefully I'll have 20 years in the chair. That's my goal.
20 more years in the chair of talking and listening.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
What a great aspiration to have, Ramona. I'm 100% supportive of you doing that because I know you're doing great work in the chair. And it brings up an interesting topic. I'm going to circle back to people talking, not yelling at each other, because there's a lot of that. And I want to talk about freedoms being limited or the perception of that. But as sort of a generalized comment, I assume there are buckets of struggles that people could be placed in. And what are you experiencing? Listening to some of your clients, what are the commonalities in their stories? What are they experiencing?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I have a lot of teachers on my caseload, Adam, and teachers and administrators in our schools are really under a lot of pressure. They're doing the very best that they can to figure out return to learn plans, and it's not an easy job. The teachers on my caseload are very anxious about going back into the school. They love their kids. They want to be with their kids. They want to have that opportunity to make those differences, and yet they know that COVID-19 is real, and it's certainly a concern. So they're having that inner struggle. As are parents on my caseload, the question becomes whether to send my child to school, whether to do the hybrid model, or whether to do online. Those are really hard decisions to make. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of anxiety out with that. There's a lot of depression. I've seen an uptick in depression. I've had some clients who were extremely driven and extremely motivated before COVID-19, and they've recently told me, Ramona, I've really had a hard time getting out of bed or getting off the couch. Things just seem so dark and so bleak, and I don't see an end in sight. Mm. So that's another area. Work-life balance has really, gotten out of control. Some people have been off work, so they kind of have too much time on their hands, they feel, and then they don't know what to do with themselves. Other people, like myself and healthcare providers, and I even have a veterinarian on my caseload, and veterinarians, I think, have gotten really busy because when COVID hit, everybody wanted a puppy. and this veterinarian has told me that, and I fall in that category too. We bought another puppy during COVID. Yeah. So there have been some fields that have really, they're working a lot more hours. So those people are fatigued. Those people are exhausted. And so I would say those would be the major buckets that people are dealing with. And then on top of that, a lot of my clients have said they've heard of somebody who has had COVID, but it really hasn't hit home. But I just had a client yesterday, and she lost an immediate family member. Mm-hmm. And so this client said, Ramona, now it's personal, and now it has hit home, and now yes. COVID has claimed one of my family members. And so that makes it really hard. The fear was always out there for this client, but now that fear has become a reality.
It's interesting when you look at the numbers in terms of the death toll that COVID has claimed. And, you know, it's not small. It's not insignificant. Almost 70,000, I think, as of this recording. But it seems like unless it is hit close to home, it doesn't feel very real. And then the fear just seems ubiquitous because it's like, well, it's everywhere. And I don't know what it's going to do to me. And some people take that for granted, I think, and don't, you know, they don't put any severity to it. But my wife's grandmother passed away from it. And it was a very quick thing. She was exposed, tested positive. 2 weeks later was in the hospital, and 3 days later or 4 days later had succumbed to it. And she was 93. You know, it was like she was one that was probably in a high risk category. But it does bring it to the forefront where you go, this is very real. And it did make me think twice about, well, I want to go see my folks, but you know, they're 70 almost. And they also fit that risk category, the profile probably. So things do start to change a little bit, I think, once you're exposed to it that way. And I think in the midst of that, this is where I want to bring in this idea of fear and limiting our freedoms. And I think some of the, even like the anti-maskers, I've been watching a lot of these just violent outbursts by people who refuse to put on a mask and get literally violent about the fact that they have to enter some buildings. And I really started questioning, why is that? What is it that those people are experiencing, or what are they afraid of? And what came up for me, and I'm curious your take on this, Ramona, is what came up for me is they're afraid of losing that freedom, or that it feels like it's being taken from them. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think you could definitely be right on with that. Here's what I would tell my clients as we struggle with those kind of issues, is that people can have different opinions, and they're strongly held opinions. I agree with you that it probably is a liberty, a freedom situation. But here's what I would go back to is a little book called The Four Agreements is something that I use with my clients a lot. Adam, I know you're familiar with that book. Yeah. Many times I tell my clients to buy that little book. I think I looked at it on Amazon and it was like $6.48. So very reasonable for a bestseller. But one of those agreements, my friend, is to not make assumptions. So one thing that I guess I was a communications major in my undergrad many, many, many decades ago. But one thing that I learned in communications is, again, not to make assumptions and to ask questions. So I think the world can be a better place when we ask people, hey, it seems like you're really opposed to putting on this mask when you're entering the store and that the store is requiring. Tell me more about that. I'm curious, what is the stumbling block for you? Rather than making my own assumption, well, it must be X, Y, or Z. It could be, but it could be something totally different. So I think just reminding people to slow down and to ask people, especially people that they disagree with, hey, what's going on? And a kind question is, help me understand. I guess that's a statement more than a question, but help me understand. It's just that beautiful statement that I think can literally change the world when we can come together. And it doesn't mean that we're going to come out on the other side with the same opinion. Most times we won't. But if I can understand why that other person is feeling that way, I've got a better understanding of that person as a whole, and I can probably put myself in their shoes and say, you know what, maybe I would make a different decision, but coming from their perspective, I can certainly see why they feel that way.
Sure. Yeah. So many great adages in all of this that are like time-tested: seek first to understand, then to be understood, right? Those kinds of things. But it seems like in the midst of this, as you mentioned, people aren't really listening. It feels like there's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of, you go to your corner, I'll stay in mine, and we'll just shout at each other from the corners.
Right. I think that's so true. And that's where I think we can remind people to be kind and to listening. You know, I think God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, because we need to do a heck of a lot more listening than we need to do talking or shouting, but just to truly take the time to hear someone else and to hear their story. The other thing that I think that I find out through my work as a mental health counselor, Adam, is everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And as humans, we are designed to be interconnected with other people and we want to tell our story. And so even if it is somebody who feels like their freedom is being taken away, I want to hear that story and I want to hear why they're feeling that way. And then if I can encourage them, okay, I hear you. I understand that. Let's talk about what freedoms that you still have that you can put into place today. And let's capitalize on those. Maybe you feel like some are being taken away, but we still have the freedom every morning to get up with a positive attitude and to see the world as full of hope rather than to see the world as a very dark place that is hopeless.
Yes. Agreed. What other freedoms do you encourage your patients, some of your clients to see?
Yeah, I think one freedom that I think they have is to not only be kind to others, Adam, but to be kind with themselves, because I think we are our own worst enemy. My clients, you know, beat themselves up for, you know, whatever reason. They made a bad choice. They made a bad mistake. They got in a fight with their partner or their spouse, or they yelled at the dog or the kids or whatever. And I just remind them that we are living through a freaking pandemic, right? I mean, this is tough going, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So we've got to be kind with others and we've got to be kind with ourselves. We have the freedom to say, you know what? I really screwed that up. But I always say, what did we learn from that? So that's a freedom to me. I get to ask myself and I get to ask others, what was the lesson that you learned from that? And then I have the freedom to implement that lesson next time. And so to me, I think just getting back to those very simple things, I think those are the freedoms that we need to get back to is how can I be the best human being and make the world a better place?
Yeah. Well said. Well said. From a mental health perspective, how do we take better care of ourselves? What are some of the strategies you give to clients and those you speak to in audiences that just give them something to go home and reflect on and maybe take care of themselves?
Absolutely. I've got a talk worked up, Adam, that is called Pennies of Positivity. And that has some fun exercises in that talk that I'm presenting to corporations and stuff. But one exercise that I have people do is to just take three pennies. And at the end of your day, put a penny in a jar for something positive that happened in the day or a positive thought that you thought. And then after you've put those three pennies in, spend 5-10 minutes. Again, I'm not asking for a lot of time out of your day, but spend 5 or 10 minutes to journal about those three positive things. That one step will be life-giving to people that take that challenge. Again, 10 minutes of your time at the end of the day, put three pennies in. I like to do that because there's that tactile piece. You know, it feels good to put those pennies in a jar. You're not going to get rich and go buy a new Mercedes with those pennies, but there's something about putting that tactile thing in a jar. But more importantly, there's science behind gratitude. And when we can practice gratitude and really take the time to be mindful to say, these three things happened in my day and these three things were good, that increases our mental health. Another thing that I tell my clients all the time is to really be conscious of providing themselves with self-care. We all need to look at work-life balance, right? I'm seeing a lot of clients during COVID, so I've got to make sure that on my off time, I can really be doing fun, exciting things that refill my cup so that I can be ready on Monday morning at 7:30 to see my first client. So we've got to be very intentional to have that really strong work-life balance and remember that every day is a miracle, every day is a gift. We don't get to today back. And we just need to be really intentional about that. So whether it's taking a walk with the kids or whether it's going on a drive with the family or whether it's buying a new puppy, whatever it is, but having fun in your life is something that we all need.
How do you recommend people create a pattern interrupt for maybe either themselves or other people in their lives if they're surrounded by negativity, as an example? And it's very easy, I've found, in this environment, for people to immediately go, oh, you know, you suck, this sucks, let's go home kind of thing. Instead of going, hey, the silver lining is we have a lot more time to do yard work. Or, hey, the silver lining is we've visited all these state parks that we haven't ever seen in our state before. Or, you know, the silver lining is whatever, we're on Zoom chats with all these people we wouldn't normally get to be together with, and now we are online, and that's a miracle. How do you interrupt someone's pattern when they're being really, really negative? Because I feel like that's just attracting more of the same.
I totally agree with you. So my clients would tell you that I'm kind of the master of challenging them at reframing. And so it's the same purpose. You know, interrupting or reframing is basically the same concept. But every time that they get into a negative pattern, I say, how can we reframe that? What's the blessing that came out of the brokenness? And I think also, Adam, helping them understand that the brokenness is the brokenness, but the beauty of that broken piece is that you learned a lesson. I tell my clients all the time, it is really easy to stand on top of the mountain and wave the victory flag. It is really easy to get that gold prize and stand on that podium. It's really hard to crawl through the valley. It's really hard to feel like you've been kicked like a dog. It's really hard when life goes to shit, you know, and for a pastor to say that, that's what I mean. Sometimes life goes to shit, you know, so, but to acknowledge that and to say, what can I learn? That lesson, I guess, in my own life, I have learned the most, Adam, when I have been in the valley. And so that's my reframe, is that I can remember those dark times and I remember the lessons that I've learned. And so helping clients get out of that negative pattern and to say, okay, it's a really hard time, but what are we learning and how are we going to apply that to tomorrow?
I love that. Reframing for what am I learning from this? Yeah. Or what can be learned from this? What is the nugget in all of this? I have really been focused on the freedom to go outside more, the freedom to you know, finish projects that haven't been done in a long time and have been on the list, the rolling to-do list, more time with kids, more time with my spouse, you know, those kinds of things. So I'm with you. I think the pattern interrupt is really hard for some people that get in the mindset of negative, negative, negative. This is what I see. And I think it was Wayne Dyer who said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
And yes. So, I think that's so true. And yes, talking about getting out with your, you know, with your wife and with your kids, you know, when the storm hit the other day and I had several parents say, oh my goodness, you know, we lost internet and my kids couldn't have the iPad. But I challenged them to say, what are your kids doing? And they're like, well, they're outside playing. I'm like, that's great, right? That's awesome. Yeah, take that as a gift. Those kids need to be outside. They probably need to have less screen time. And so, you know, my partner and I enjoy seeing kids in the neighborhood when they're outside. And that's one blessing that has come from COVID. We see kids out shooting hoops. We see kids riding their bikes. We see kids walking the dog rather than mom and dad, because they didn't, you know, have as much opportunity to hang out with their friends or be at soccer practice or whatever. And so I agree with you, getting outside and moving your body is so good for your mental health.
You know, it's funny you mentioned getting outside, walking, all of that. We live in a cul-de-sac. When I walk out my front door, I can kind of see the main road, you know, people going back and forth. Generally, there's not a lot of folks, you know, seven months ago, you'd be hard pressed to see anyone walking a dog or out for a jog. They were all either inside or they were at work during the day. One day, probably 3 months ago, it was right in the heart of quarantine where everyone was staying home. And I think people were getting stir crazy a little bit. It looked like a stinking parade was going on the main drag out here.
Yes.
There were like 30 people, you know, between the start of the cul-de-sac and the end, in terms of just, you know, walking through their kids riding bikes. Everyone was out. Everyone. Yes. And I was like, this is awesome.
Such a good feeling. And again, neighbors, seeing neighbors visit with neighbors, you know, again, I know my partner and I have always, you know, had good relationships with our neighbors, but just seeing other neighbors being neighborly, I think that's one thing that I've noticed too, is that people are visiting with their neighbors more because maybe they weren't going to work. Maybe they were working remotely and had more time around the yard or whatever. And so they visited with neighbor, you know, that they shared the fence with or whatever. But again, it's those human connections that I think we have freedom to do. And I think that has been a huge blessing that has come out of this very difficult time.
No doubt. No doubt. You are so eloquent in how you speak about all these. So I'm remiss that I didn't get to see you preach when you were preaching. Although I'm sure there's some video out there somewhere, isn't there?
There might be. But yes, that's why I'm really excited, Adam, about my speaking career, which you have been extremely instrumental in. And for that, I am eternally grateful. But I really am excited to relaunch my speaking career because speaking really does fill my cup. And yes, old parishioners would tell you that Ramona's sermons were never boring. They were very interactive. You know, they had a lot of fun. They always, I think, learned something that they could apply for their life. I've always said as a person, you know, I'm not the most intelligent person that you will ever meet, but I am a very, very real person with real understanding and some basic ideas of really how I think you can change your life if you'll apply these time-tested strategies. And so I'm a very simple person, a simple teacher, but I think people are yearning for that. They want to understand. They want help. They want to get it. And so I'm just excited to join you on the speaking market and just really bring the message of hope and healing to larger audiences on a regular basis.
Tell my audience the programs you're excited to deliver.
I am so excited to deliver, like I mentioned, Pennies of Positivity. That it talks a lot about positive psychology, which there is a lot of science behind that, and mindfulness. So that's ready to go. I'm presenting that to a large corporation here in the Metro next week. So that one is teed up and ready to go. Another one that I feel very passionate about, Adam, is Making Peace with Change. And there has been so much change in our world due to COVID-19 and due to racial tensions and due to political divisions and those kind of things. There's been a lot of changes thrown at us. And so just how to find resiliency and how to maintain your mental health and that inner sense of peace when your world feels like it's been turned upside down. I think that's a message that resonates with lots of people and lots of organizations. Mm-hmm. Another message that I delivered recently that was very well received is how to lead with love. And that is a beautiful message. I think the world needs more love. There's a lot of hate in the world. But at our core, I believe we were designed to be love-filled creatures. And so that is a message that I think resonates with people as well. And then a couple more that I've got ready to go. I have a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot. I have a few young adults on my caseload, Adam, and I've really watched them struggle with adulting. And so I feel very passionate to help young adults, emerging adults, find their way. And I know when I was raising my son, who's now 31 years old, I was always very thankful when other adults came into his life that were speaking messages that were very similar to the words that I was speaking to him. And mm-hmm. so I just want to be that positive, mature adult speaking to young adults about how to navigate that life transition, because it's a hard transition. And the transition that these 20-somethings are making now is very different and I think much more challenging than the transitions that I had to make when I was that age. But I think that my education and my life experience can be put together really nicely to give them some really great tools to help them navigate those waters. And then the last area I'm passionate about is helping farmers. Like I said, I grew up on a farm. My mom and dad were farmers. And so I'm really passionate about helping the ag community. Farming is going through a tough season as well right now. And so I just want to bring farmers hope and to be thankful because they do feed our country and our world. And so I feel very strongly that I want to make a difference in their lives as well.
Very cool. You can find out more about Ramona at ramonawink.com. That's RamonaWink.com. And Ramona, you bring this great air of wisdom and experience and authenticity that I think is really needed today. So I hope that my audience and those who are lucky enough to see you present will get the best of you. And I'm excited to help promote your speaking career because I know your voice is essential. So I'm excited.
My friend, thank you so much for this time. And again, this is just such a wonderful opportunity. You've been very instrumental in this chapter of my life. And for that, I'm very grateful. And again, thank you for all you do. You are an inspiration to so many, including myself. So thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. It fills my bucket every day.
Amen.
I appreciate you.